Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take a look at safe holiday shopping. Our guest today, Sandy Chalmers, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade and Consumer Protection. And Sandy, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Larry. Nice to be here.
And Michelle Reinen directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection. And Michelle, thank you as well.
Thanks, Larry. Always good to be here.
Great to have you with us today. And boy, there's so much we can talk about today. I don't know about you guys. I haven't done any holiday shopping. My Christmas shopping has not even begun. And I guess for a lot of people, it's Black Friday. That's the first day.
Well, we've been getting advertisements, emails about pre-Black Friday for the last month or so.
Yeah.
But a lot of people still participate in the Black Friday sales, and there are deals out there. There's no question about that. The important thing here is to avoid frustration and wasted time by carefully reading the sales ads, whether they're in the newspaper or they come to you via email or they're advertised on a website. Look for the fine print here and look for disclaimers about limited quantities of those deep discounted items.
Mm-hmm.
Some prices may be internet only. There may be special sale hours that apply to special items, certain items. And also, pay really close attention to the return and exchange policies, because some retailers have different policies that apply on Black Friday or to certain items on Black Friday than they do for the rest of the year.
So some of those things still. You know, I remember once, and I don't go on Black Friday very much anymore, but I remember once being in a store, and I was holding up a shirt, and a woman came up to me and said, "Oh, can I look at it for a minute?" And I said, "Well, sure." I handed it over to her, and she just took off with it. And it was the only one of that size.
Well, Black Friday is serious. That's
Boy,
very
I
serious
guess
for some
so.
People.
I said, "Wait a minute, where are you going?" And she did not even look back. She just hustled away.
And you lost the deal.
I lost out on the deal, but you know what? Probably. It has been such a good story that it was probably worth losing the deal. Well, what about online shopping?
That's a really hot topic, because people are spending more and more money every year online versus in store.
And we are hearing that, you know, Black Friday could kind of go away if people keep online.
The models these retailers used changes from year to year, and this seems to be the year of the continuous sale. But they are advertising Cyber Monday deals. There is so much opportunity for fraud online, and I think we'll spend a lot of time talking about that today. But make sure a website is legitimate before you order, and look for the company's name and physical location, contact information before you enter your order, especially before you enter your credit card information. There are a lot of copycat websites out there. There are a lot of fraudulent websites. And of course, the fraudulent websites are the ones that offer those too good to be true deals.
Yeah. So be careful out there.
Yeah, you really have to pay attention. And, you know, we are so distracted and busy at this time of year. There's a lot of money exchanging hands, both in stores and online. This is Medicare open enrollment time.
Yeah.
People are thinking about end-of-year tax liability, so there are opportunities for charity fraud. So you really have to be vigilant and alert.
What about layaways? Are there things that concerns that we need to have relating to layaways?
I think the biggest thing with Michelle? Layaways is really knowing the details that the department store has about their layaway policies before you enroll in them or enlist in them and use them. So know what the policies are for if you are late with a payment or miss a payment. Are there any penalty fees that you'd have to pay? Will your contract with them be canceled, or will the merchandise be returned to inventory? So get all those fine print details and really understand the relationship you're entering into when you put something on layaway. And then what happens if you decide that you don't want the merchandise after you've made some of the payments? Do you get your money back? Do you get all of it back, a part of it back? Do you have to pay another penalty? Those situations. And know what the return policies are on a gift that you've put on layaway as well. So it's the details.
I remember a friend. Now, this isn't necessarily layaway, but I had a friend once who bought something, electronic something or other, that was fairly expensive, and he had like a year to pay at no interest or something, and he didn't get it all paid off, and he took a big hit, which he hadn't read the fine print, and there was a very big penalty for even being a few bucks, you know, $50 or whatever it was he still owed.
Sure, that sounds like the opposite side, the zero financing type situation when you're purchasing something. And a lot of big ticket items have that set up, whether it be electronics or furniture right now, those types of stores at 0% financing. Know those details and what those payments are, what happens if you're late with a payment, what if you completely miss a payment, do they come take and collect the items back, or is there a very severe penalty? And how does that, in the long run, in the end, potentially impact your credit report and that type of situation? And where does collections fit into all of that? So, again, it's understanding that and knowing what works for you and your finances there and making sure you can honor whatever you enter into. Don't, you know, we're not the spending police here, but make sure you're not overextending or spending. As those details relate to that.
Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, our guests today, as we talk about holiday shopping and making safe holiday shopping and consumer scam issues as well. Maybe you have some steps that you take to make sure you're safe, or maybe you have some questions about your holiday shopping. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page. Title of that page, The Larry Mueller Show. Post your questions or your comments there. Certainly love to hear from you. Organizations, and Sandy, you mentioned earlier charitable giving. You know, and I've gotten to the point anymore, my just personally, where I think 98% of my charitable giving is local, you know, really local organizations. I rarely, or sometimes the local part or unit of maybe a national organization.
Well, when you give locally, I think you have a better feeling about where your money is going to be used and how it's going to be used, and you may even know the people that it's going to, so it's a more personal relationship. Some of these charities, especially the fake charities, will use a really high-pressure emotional appeal. They may offer you something free, a free gift for giving. Really resist that kind of high-pressure appeal, especially if it comes over the telephone. Take your time to research the charity. Most people find it very important to know the percentage of giving that goes to the recipient and the percentage that's used for fundraising and overhead. Nobody wants their money to go to some CEO's, you know, million-dollar salary. So I think your idea of giving locally is a really good one. Because you have a better idea of how that money's going to be used.
We have lots of opportunity for you to join in at 1-800-642-1234. Sometimes the very small nonprofits will often have a little bit higher percentage of administrative costs than sort of the larger organization. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're not using the money well.
Because their overall budget's smaller. charities must be registered by law with the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. So if you have any question about whether a charity is legitimate or not, you can go to their website, dfi.wi.gov, and make sure that that charity is registered before you give.
Yeah. And there's a lot of mail. I'm getting a lot of mail these days from charities. Some I know, sort of know what they're about, but gosh, it's an unbelievable amount in my mind. I'm not getting so much online for charitable organizations as I am in the mail.
A lot of those charities use these gifts to help entice your giving. So whether it be the free mailing labels that you get back, stickers, notepads, get a book bag situation to help prompt you to feel to give back because you've gotten something in return. So, you know, have your list, determine who you want to give to. And if you get all these mailings, double check that name. Do that research. Make sure you haven't given to them already this year. If you're only in a position to give once a year, maybe you want to give 2, 3, 4 times a year, but double check your accounting and your tracking records on that. And then also research that name, because like we see on the internet, there's an awful lot of look-alike imposter type names.
Yeah.
For fake charities or charities that maybe have a very different percentage of how they distribute the funds in that. And that's where checking out their name to make sure that they've been registered with the state of Wisconsin, with the Department of Financial Institutions is important, and double checking and doing that research online about that charity and make sure it's the one that you want to give to.
How about you? Have you done your shopping yet? As we talk with our two guests, Andy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen, about safe holiday shopping. Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe you've got Black Friday on your mind, that day after Thanksgiving. Or I guess some people even get out Thanksgiving evening.
Yeah, now. Last few years.
The last few years, Thanksgiving Day has become a really busy day as well. Anyway, give us a call with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Right now, we're learning how to be safe and savvy consumers this holiday season. Again, you can join in with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234, and let's take some calls. Tammy in Madison, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hello. I just wanted to comment on the charitable organization situation. You know, I've been giving for many years to different groups, and I found out they sell my name to other groups, and so I've gotten to a point where I've been getting like 75 different groups begging me for money, and like 50 of them, over 50 of them, sending me at least 12 to 16 notifications a year, and it's a nightmare with how it piles up. So I started tallying what I was receiving, and then I contacted them and told them, I'm not giving you any more money unless you flag my membership to just one mailing per year, preferably with the nice calendar. And so I...
Has it worked?
Guns on that. Well, we'll see.
I see.
It didn't work a few years ago. I sent a letter with my contribution to each one, and that didn't work. But we'll see if my calls work, where I actually talk to a
real person. Live person. Yeah.
Right.
Well, what do you think, Michelle?
Well, I think, you know, communicating directly with the charity and asking them to, place you on their do not call list, their internal one, or their do not mail list is a great method to let them know how you feel, especially if you want the mailings to stop altogether. Asking for just one, that will be a harder challenge to balance, I think, for the charity, but I hope it works out for Tammy and that. But I think tracking the giving, that helps you know what you've done, so you're keeping honest with what you want to do there.
Thank you, Tammy. Thanks a lot for calling. You know, there are some scams out there now that we're seeing that I thought were kind of weird. There's this quote, a robocall from Steve Martin, supposedly. And Steve Martin is not connected with this at all, is he? Or is it somebody that sounds just like Steve Martin?
Not the Steve Martin you're thinking of, Larry, I think. Yeah, this is one in a long line of these government imposter scams where they pretend to be from the IRS or Medicare or state police, and it just goes on and on. And this particular one is notable because the guy says, this is Steve Martin, but he talks about an enforcement action with the U.S. Treasury and throws out words like federal magistrate and, you know, federal criminal offense. And, of course, it's just some scam. And if you returned his call, I'm sure you'd be asked for immediate payment by credit card. And the sad thing here is that people tend to pay attention when they get a call from somebody who says they're with the IRS. So I know that there are people who are vulnerable to this kind of scam. Just be aware that they're out there and very, very extremely common right now. If you have an elderly friend or a relative, please warn them about these government imposter scams because many of them target the elderly, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's too bad. And are people actually responding to that Steve Martin one?
We haven't heard from anyone who's been a victim of this scam. I think it's just so outlandish that most people understand that it's not, you know. But yeah. Some of these imposter scams can be very convincing, and the calls get very threatening, especially this IRS imposter scam that's been around for the last couple of years or so. Very widespread in Wisconsin.
What about, there's one that involves free pizza. Do you know that one? Are you familiar with that one, Michelle?
Yeah, in the last month or so, we've received different notices from consumers that they were getting emails that were fake from Pizza Hut, of all places. So that they were celebrating their 55th anniversary, and you could get free pizza. But really what this would do was try and to get the free pizza coupon, you had to hit the button, and then beyond the button were the questions to give over that personal information that we all try and hold close, and we don't want to give that out. And then there was the trigger a download of malware and invade your computer that way, so they could also get at that information and track you that way. So, you know, the anniversary was a year ago. The free pizza giveaway, if you'd Googled it, had happened already. they weren't legit anymore, and it was just a way to really pull consumers in. And now that we're entering the holidays, there's more and more of these texts or emails that we need to watch for, whether it be the free gift card, the $500 gift card to Walmart or Target, to really be on the lookout for those fake texts and emails where people, scammers, are just trying to get at your personal information or have you pay over a few dollars to get this gift card.
Mm. Ann in Duluth, Minnesota has a comment. Hi, Ann. Thank you for calling.
Hi. My cell phone bill that I'm going to talk about originated in Wisconsin. My daughter was the account holder, and we had it's a long story, but we had a lot of trouble. We finally said, you know what, we're not getting phone service. We want out of this contract. At one time, they told us we owed them $600, and we were just so frustrated. And finally, I said to my daughter, I have heard these people on public radio. Let's file a complaint. We filed the complaint. We called the cell phone company again. You didn't even have to enact the complaint. Just me telling them that we had filed it was enough for them to back off, leave us alone, and we got out of the contract without having to pay a penny. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, $600.
Yeah.
That's Michelle, that put a smile on your face.
Well, yeah, thank you for calling. It makes us feel really good to know that people are able to solve their own problems because of the information we put out there, and that we are there to help if you do need us. So that's great. Yeah. I'm really happy it worked out for you.
Yeah, we are too. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. You can call in too. Maybe you've got a deal, or maybe you've been helped, but also maybe you've got a problem that relates to consumer issues and you need some advice. Please give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page. Our Facebook page is The Larry Mealer Show. That's the title of our page, so you can go there as well. There's another scam involving big-ticket items. Is there not? Is a big-ticket online ad sale scam, or is that one did we cover that already? I don't think we have. Yeah. No.
We hear about this from time to time, and I don't think it's all that common. The problem is when you fall victim to it, you lose $10,000,
$20,000.
It's when people respond to an ad for a boat or a car or farm machinery even, and they're lured into a scheme, and the seller says, well, let's do this through eBay. That's safer, and you'll be protected that way. And they send an email that looks like it's from eBay, get the credit card information or the wire transfer of money. They even send a fake order confirmation that looks like it's from eBay.
Oh, my goodness.
Of course, the crook gets the money, and the buyer, would-be buyer, ends up with nothing. And these online classifieds can be really dangerous. So, again, you really need to pay attention to what you're doing before sending money to anyone in this kind of situation.
Oh, man. Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers, our guests today. Lots of callers coming in right now. You can join us at 800-642-1234. Talking about sort of safe holiday shopping, but also just talking about all those consumer scams that are out there that can hit your pocketbook. And if you think you've been a victim of a scam, or maybe you narrowly avoided one, we'd love to hear your story as well. 800-642-1234. Let's turn to John in Janesville next. John, thank you for calling. Hi.
How are you doing?
Great. Appreciate your call. What's on your mind?
Why have dish satellite TV? Every time the wind blows, the rain comes down, snow comes down, anything else, you lose the signal. So when you get home from work, you go to watch something you had recorded, and you only get half of it, and then it goes blank. And by the time it comes back on, it's over, so you never do see the end of anything. I was wondering how you get out of these contracts.
Well, one thing you can do, you need to communicate with Dish and see if they're willing to come out and see if there's any kind of adjustment that can be done to the signal strength that you're receiving.
Well, they've been out numerous times.
All right. And then the next thing we want to do is look at the representations they made to you when you entered into your contract. And one of the ways we can do that is if you file a complaint with our agency and provide us with any promotional materials in your contract that you have. So I'll give you our 800 number, 1-800-422-7128.
Uh-huh. 7128.
Mm-hmm. Or you can go online at datcp.wi.gov and file a complaint there, and we'll take a look and we'll communicate with Dish about your complaint and see what we can do to assist you. We would want to look to see if there's any penalty for you getting out of that contract, how long before that's up, and what terms and conditions apply there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they said that you get $50 for telling your friends about Dish. I told probably 35 people not to get it.
Yeah.
I've never gotten $50 from anybody.
Right. And sometimes, you know, communicating that too, that word of mouth advertising, whether positive or negative, can assist with issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck, John. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your problem. I have I've had similar problems with not with Dish, but with another satellite provider, and usually it's a heavy snowstorm, or if it's a heavy rainstorm, it's when you really want to see the weather. It is kind of frustrating sometimes. Fortunately, in my case, it doesn't happen very often. Shirley in Madison, your turn. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Larry, and your guest. I just wanted to tell you about a call I got just this morning. It was from someone who claimed to be from the Federal Department of the Treasury, and my small business was selected to get a grant for $7,000. And, of course, they were going to put it directly into my bank account. So I just wanted to let small businesses know that that one is out there.
Oh, so they wanted your bank account number.
Yeah, my business account.
Yeah. Oh, which would have quickly been
drained. I'm sure. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, lucky you, Shirley, to be the big winner of the $7,000 grant.
Right, that I didn't even apply for.
Right. That's the way it works in the real world. We all know that. Yeah, small businesses are often targeted by criminals, and we have had many, many cases. The fake invoice scam is a very common one where you get a something that looks like an invoice for the Yellow Pages, or something that's kind of sounds like Yellow Pages. So there are many crooks out there who are looking to scam small businesses.
Well, yeah, and thanks for letting us know on that one, Shirley. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right, take care. Shirley Bauman, actually a guest on our show fairly often, so it's great to have her, and she's got a small business, auctioneering business, and so I'm sure there are other small business owners out there who have been contacted as well, and hopefully they were all as smart as Shirley. Jeff and Adams, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
Last week I was trying to do some research on new cell phone plan, and I was just calling them through the Madison phone book. And first two I called were busy signals, so I went to I was looking at U.S. Cellular first, and I went to one of the 800 numbers, you know, below, you know, Bill's U.S. Cellular and Sam's U.S. Cellular, then the 800 number, thinking that's a corporate number, and for a lousy $5 billed to my credit card, they were going to send me a $100 gift card. Usable at 50 different places. And I just added a digit to their own phone number and read it back to them, and they never did connect me to anything U.S. Cellular related, so I figured it was a scam, and then they called me back two times in the next half hour trying to get a credit card from me, and I kept telling them, let me talk to you know, somebody at customer service, and they wouldn't do it. They hung up on me two times. But that's in the Madison phone book, and the way it's listed, just like three or four or five numbers down from U.S. Cellular, it looks like it's related to them and has nothing to do with them.
Boy. Sandy, comment?
Yeah, I know fake online ads are a real problem, and you have to be careful that you're at the website of the business that you want to be at. Look at your browser window and make sure that you are at uscellular.com. The same thing may happen in the phone books. It would not surprise me at all if there are fake or look-alike, sound-alike listings in a phone book. That would be very easy for a crook to pull off.
Yeah, yeah, that's really too bad. Well, thanks very much for calling. Well, anytime somebody wants to say, well, we'll give you $100, but first give us $5, just does not make any sense.
That doesn't sound like the way a company like U.S. Cellular would conduct business.
No.
It's suspicious.
Yes, it is. You can join in too, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions. We'll get you on pretty quickly. We have lots of open lines. Roger in Little Chute, you're next. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I read once where I think it's called Wounded Warriors Campaign, and they got ads on TV now, which are real tearjerkers and everything else like that. They want you to donate or sign up for $19.99 a month. Da-da-da-da-da. But I read once where it's like only 8 to 12 cents out of every dollar they collect ever gets used for warriors. The rest is basically for themselves. How can you find stuff like that out? Or how you ask, when they call, you ask them, well, they don't take care of that, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, they're supposed to be able to have that information for you right there. Isn't that, Sandy, a tip-off that if they won't give you that information?
Yeah, I can't speak specifically about Wounded Warriors, but you can go on the website of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions, wdfi.org, or check guidestar.org. That's another website that analyzes charities. And look at the percentage of donations that goes directly to the intended beneficiary.
I was under the opinion, the assumption that they had to give you that information if you asked for it when they were...
Well, they should. It's just good customer relations for them to do that. I'm not sure whether there's a legal requirement that they do that. But the thing is, if you ask and you're stonewalled, that could be an indication that there's fraud involved or that they don't want to give you that information and there's a reason for it.
Yeah. Roger, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Ellen in Brookfield, it's your turn. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Well, just yesterday, a friend of mine was showing me on his computer an American, not really American Express, but a fraud thing under the name of American Express. And it had the actual website of AmericanExpress.com that showed, said that there's a possible fraud, on your credit card, you need to contact us. And when you put the cursor over the AmericanExpress.com, there's a shadow email address that shows up underneath there, which has nothing to do with American Express. And so, somebody would just click on that and, immediately go to this other site. And, I don't know what they wanted, but, obviously they were hoping to commit some sort of fraud. And every single link on there, every single link to American Express, when you put the cursor over there, showed this other address. Even the unsubscribe one.
Wow.
You put it over unsubscribe, and that came up. So, that's just another reminder. Don't click on any of those things if you didn't ask for it. They'll call you. They'll contact you in some other way, or you can just go to the website on your own to see if there's something going on. But I didn't even know about the ability to put the cursor over a thing and see what was underneath there. I was absolutely shocked by that.
So just set the cursor over the top of the address.
Yeah, that hover, and so it'll appear. That's a great tip that Ellen brought up that we try and communicate as well. But the hover will show you something different, and that you should question that because it's not the same email address that or the website address that you would normally use and find and see on your bill or have to communicate directly with the company have on your credit card. She's right. If there's a problem, they'll find you. They'll hunt you down. But if you're ever in question, the theme is when in doubt, throw it out. Don't pay attention. Use your resource information, the number on the credit card, the number you receive with the bill to communicate directly with the company that you're doing business with instead of the information you're getting through an email because it very much can be imposter information and just leads you back to those scammers.
And we have an email from Jim. We filed a complaint about an airline. He mentions the airline, Allegiant, I guess, to leaving us stuck with a travel voucher for which we paid $400 at a fundraiser. I haven't heard back regarding that complaint. Was this ever resolved? And that may be difficult for you right off the top to know whether that's unless you directly dealt with it, which you probably didn't.
Right, didn't. What I would suggest Jim do is you could call our 800 number, 1-800-422-7128. He could find out the person assigned to that complaint and talk directly to them. And if he has any questions or problems with that, just ask to talk to me, Michelle Reinen, and he can be transferred to my voicemail, and then I can follow up with Jim directly if he's not hearing from the investigator.
And that's 1-800-422-7128, which is also, I mean, it's a good number just to have handy, because if you're going to, if you run into a problem, that's the number really to call.
That's right. That's the number you can use to check out a business before you engage in any kind of relationship, to see what their complaint history is, to see if we have complaints, have taken an action against them. That's the number you can call to get fact sheets and information sent to you so you know your rights and the laws before you enter into a contract as well, whether it be landlord, tenant, home improvement, auto repair, the whole spectrum of things that we do there to get resource information. We have a great senior guide that can be used with all sorts of scams and tips and red flags that consumers should be looking out for. And it's great for senior citizens, parents, or just anyday consumer. It's not just information for seniors. And then again, it's where you would file a complaint, that same phone number or online, to reach out to us and let us know the problems you're having, and we can direct you to a different agency if we don't handle it, or we'll get you that complaint form and follow up and either open those doors of communication between you and the company, or if it leads to that, enforcement action with a company if it's, it goes to that spectrum of being severe.
How many complaints do you keep track of, how many you get every year? I know it's a lot.
Yeah, it's usually between 10 and 11,000 complaints a year, and these are formal written complaints that we can use in an enforcement action. So it's really important that we do hear from consumers about their problems. You know, our role is to make sure the marketplace is fair, honest, open, transparent, and we take our responsibility very seriously. And every year we do take enforcement actions against companies from across the country.
Yeah. Talking today with Sandy Chalmers, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection, and Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, talking about consumer scams and safe holiday shopping with them. And again, join in at 800-642-1234, email at talk@wpr.org, or post on our Facebook page. That's at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller with my two guests from the Department of Consumer Protection of our Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen. Great to have them along. Thank you for listening in. Lots of calls coming in now on consumer scams and consumer issues, so let's go right back to the phones and to Jeff in Minocqua. Jeff, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry, and your guests. Thank you for being on, Larry. A good program, as usual. Fundamental question, does DATCP have regulatory control over telephone companies like CenturyLink, or can they tell me who does?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, depending upon the issue that you're having, either the Public Service Commission may have some regulation, or we could have some regulation, or it could be unregulated. So,
oh my goodness. Yeah,
I would advise, Jeff, if you're having a problem, to call our office and we can help you sort through if you should file a complaint with us or the Public Service Commission, or what might be happening there.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, good. Would you please give that number again?
You bet.
To catch it when I was in the truck.
Yeah, it's 1-800-422-7128. So it's 1-800. Yeah, 1-800-422-7128. And please do make that phone call, Jeff, because if it's something that they're not going to handle, they'll give you the phone number of the people who will. So there you go. Parker in Madison, your turn. Hi, Parker.
Thanks, Larry. A few months ago, my granddaughter, 23 years old, moved to Madison, and so she needed to file change of address with the U.S. Post Office. You can go to the U.S. Post Office site and get that done for a $1.05 service charge. But when she Googled the U.S. Post Office site, two sites came up before that one, both of which charged $40 for a change of address.
Huh.
They looked enough like the U.S. Post Office site that she was conned into spending $80. And when I asked her if they had said what the price was, if you did it that way, she said no. I went to the pages and found that in very, very tiny print, they did mention a $39.95 charge. I wonder, isn't there some way for the U.S. Post Office to use its vast powers to make sure that when people Google the U.S. Post Office, that's what they get?
Yeah, you wish. Sandy, what do you think?
We've heard about similar problems with Wisconsin DMV, and people end up at DMV.com or something like that, and they're asked to pay money for application forms for driver's licenses and things like that. You do have to be really careful about looking at your browser window and making sure that you're where you think you are. We've looked at some of these websites, and they usually have a disclaimer that states, we are not associated with the U.S. Postal Service or something like that. So it makes it very difficult for us to take any kind of enforcement action against a company like this if we can find them. That's another issue. But the best advice I can give is to really pay attention to those online listings, because a lot of them are fake or not. They will lead you somewhere other than you want to be.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Right. I understand the problem. It was, that language was there, but again, it was in very fine print.
Yeah.
And I know that people mess with the Google algorithms to make sure that certain sites come up ahead of others. And so I'm seriously wondering why it is that someone with the good intent couldn't mess with those algorithms to make sure that the U.S. Post Office site is the first one you get.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't hurt to give Google some feedback, if you can figure out how to do that. We've had some success, limited success, in trying to work with eBay and Craigslist to asking them to pull down fake ads. But it's worth a try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not? Can't hurt, and maybe it can help. Thank you, Parker. I'm sorry for the problems with your niece. It's really too bad. Dave in Wausau, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I'm just calling just to warn everyone to not buy a used car from a dealership, because it's all as is. I bought a truck in October of 2013. First in June, a wheel completely fell off and it hit the pavement. And then in August, the engine seized up. Oh. And this all happened in less than a year I owned it. And I filed a complaint with the state in the dealer complaint form. The result came back like a week or two ago, and they sided with the dealership. So you might as well buy from a private individual, because you're not getting any dealership recommendation. And I think they can totally defraud the consumer by checking off the checklist that they've looked at all the various parts of the car. And what proof do you have that they ever did that?
Yeah. Well, that's a sad story, too,
yeah.
Sandy.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. And, of course, we don't have all the details, but the State Department of Transportation handles regulation of auto dealerships, and we have very limited jurisdiction over that issue. You might want to think about small claims court or hiring an attorney. There's always that option.
Yeah.
I've heard of that, but I've heard it's also expensive besides being a lengthy process.
Yeah. It's too bad, but that's probably the way it is. And sometimes you're just mad enough you want to do it anyway. I don't know if you're in that shape, but it certainly sounds like you certainly didn't get what you paid for. Thank you. very much for calling, Dave. Good luck. Marcia in Ashland, your turn. Hi, Marcia.
Hi. This is another one of those, make sure you know what you've got in your browser. When you Google, when people are trying to sign up for the Affordable Health Care Act, and they Google that, they sometimes don't get the right site. And you have to make sure that you're on the actual government site, which is healthcare.gov, not healthcare.org or .com or .biz. Because when you go to those other sites and put your information in, you get phone calls night and day from agents all over the United States trying to sell you insurance.
Oh, boy. It sounds like you've had that experience, Marcia.
I have. I'm a navigator for the Affordable Care Act, and people tell me this all the time. So when you Google to try to get into the marketplace, make sure it's .gov.
.gov. That is great information. Thank you so much. And I know, Michelle, you are totally in agreement.
I am. Marcia, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that information, because it can lead to this cascade of phone calls or mailers to consumers, and it's difficult to sort through that information. So really paying attention to what you're typing in, that if you're going to a government site, it's that .gov and organization.org, and really doing that research and paying attention. And I know the navigators are out there helping with that. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it very much, Marcia. And I want to give Mike in Twin Lakes a chance to join in. Mike, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good afternoon. Wonderful show. I really appreciate the tips. And because of some of the tips I've heard from you, the other day I got a message email. And it said you had a parcel service, had a big block on it, and they tried to deliver a package to me. And it just happened that, according to them, the day they tried to deliver was my birthday. So I'm thinking, well, geez, someone tried to send me something. But before I clicked on it, it said click here and then print a label and then go down to UPS and pick up your package. Well, I listened to you. And instead of going on there, I went to the UPS website and then got the phone number and called them and asked them about, do they have a package? And of course they said they could look it up. There was no package. I told them what it was. They said, yep, definitely a scam. Don't click on that. It would have went right to somewhere else. So be forewarned, and I thank you for the advice, because it probably saved me a lot of trouble.
Oh, well, Mike, thank you for calling. And once again, Sandy, nice call to get.
Yeah, it's great to know that people are paying attention, but that shipping scam has been an issue for the past 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
And we started hearing about these fake shipping emails right after Halloween. So any day here, I think we're going to put out a consumer alert letting people know, hey, it's out there again. You got to watch for this. And clicking on a link in an email like that will either download malicious software onto your device, your computer at home, or you'll be prompted to fill out screens with personal information. So they're either after your device or your personal information or money.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised they came in on my birthday.
Yeah. Well, maybe they might have even had that information.
I have a feeling they might have.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thank you for calling. And Mary Ann in Gordon, Wisconsin, your turn. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call. This occurred this week when I was doing some shopping at Walmart. I had been given two $100 gift certificates, and my total bill came to $123. I presented the two Walmart gift cards to the checkout, and he gave me a card back. He placed them on the counter. He gave me a card back, and I started actually out of the store and then went back and said, I don't know what made me do it, but said, I think you gave me the wrong card back. Please check it. Of course, zero balance on the card he gave me, $70 on the balance of the card that he had put aside.
Wow.
Just something to watch for if you're shopping with Walmart gift cards, because I'm sure the teller did it on purpose. Mm. And what could I do if I made it all the way back to the car?
Yeah.
I would have no recourse. Anyway.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. And, you know, it could have been an honest mistake, but it's one of those you've heard about before, haven't you, Michelle?
Well, this kind of thing, yeah, it can happen. So really paying attention, whether it be your credit card, a gift card, whatever you're handing over for payment, really paying attention, not be sorting through the purse or grabbing the gum or the mints at that point in time. Being, you know, close attention to the people around you and what's going on with your money, and that you're getting back your credit card before you walk away. You're getting back the gift card that still has money left on it, and watching that.
Yep, absolutely.
Yep, that's just something to watch for. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call as well. Pat in Chippewa Falls, hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you for having the show. And I apologize, I just tuned in, so I don't know your guest, you know, where your guest is from or perspective or anything. But when I was listening to some of the calls, it really brought to point to me that isn't it better that we have smart regulations in place? For instance, the man who was calling about his vehicle and not having any recourse other than to pay a lot of money for an attorney, it scares me a little bit with our current administration at the state level that it's, there's a perception that in order to have a business-friendly environment, we have to get rid of regulations. And I think there needs to be a healthy balance between consumer protection and regulation. And I'll take your comments off there.
Yeah, yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Well, I think you'd agree with that we need some, we need regulations.
We do, and we work really hard at our agency. I think Sandy had expressed that with that used car situation, that's outside of our boundaries and the regulations that we have in place. It's another agency, and we don't have all the facts with that one. But we work really hard when we see a bill that's proposed to give that information, or if we're doing rulemaking, to hear from both parties and really end up with a balanced set of regulations that will work with both parties.
And we will be with our guests right up until 12:30. A quick look at the news, and then we'll be back with Michelle and Sandy. Stay with us. In the course of an average week or month, you and I act as consumers many, many, many times. So much so that it's easy to not be vigilant about the monthly bills and the everyday interactions. And when you buy and you're busy with the holiday preparations, maybe you're making more purchases than usual. It's even more important, I think, to check and double-check those transactions. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. As we visit with our consumer experts, Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Michelle, great to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry.
And Sandy Chalmers, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. And Sandy, thank you again for coming by.
Thanks, Larry.
Lots of good things that we can talk about. There may be a scam that has affected you, or maybe you've got an experience to share. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call or email us at talk@WPR.org or on my Facebook page, or the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page is the place to go for that. That's our Facebook page. Linda in Eau Claire has a comment. Linda, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for this program.
Sure.
This last July, I was at a convention, and every single purchase I made was run through somebody's smartphone. And this was the only time that I used this credit card. And just recently, I was contacted by my credit card company, who notified me that somebody was using this information to make charges out in California. And so my question is, how secure is my information, my credit card information, when somebody uses their smartphone to process a transaction?
That's a good question. We're seeing more and more of that, too, as a matter of fact, Michelle.
We are. There are applications that people are purchasing to communicate directly or to be able to take credit cards through an app on the smartphone. So there's usually a device that's hooked into like the headphone portion. And so they have service agreements with these individuals, and it's like any other application. And I believe that there would also be some additional federal regulation because they're handling credit cards. So it's probably not the person's device so much as it's who's housing that information, the relationship they have, if they're using which supplier for that service they're using, that you'd want to research. And given your experience, I would communicate directly back from your credit card with who provided that service and check out their privacy agreement and see if you can have a conversation with them or do some research about that application.
So I would have to contact each vendor because I did make purchases from different vendors.
You could. I would think on your credit card, it also may show the service. I know one of them out there that I see a lot is called Square. And so you can research Square and you can recognize it because of the device that's used with the smartphones. And you could just probably see on your credit card that service provided through Square, not just the vendor itself.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. We had an email from Timothy. My daughter went to buy a used car. There was going to be no financing, and she was to pay with a check. Before they would finish the purchase, they insisted on having her fill out an extensive credit application as if the purchase was predicated on their financing. They also wanted to fill out the IRS form for cash purchases. I was told by another dealer that this practice is a moneymaker for the dealer, in that the dealer received a couple hundred dollars for each credit application submitted to them. Does this justify filing a complaint?
That's difficult for us to answer because we don't regulate the dealers and the sale of vehicles, whether new or used, when done through a dealer. So I suggest this person call the Department of Transportation, the Dealer Motor Vehicle Unit. They have a consumer section and the dealer regulation, and that is 608-266-1425. And they can talk to someone there to see if they should file a complaint.
Yeah, it seems like. So 608-266-1425.
Correct.
Is that Department of Transportation? All right. It's worth, I would give it a call. I mean, it's kind of a bother to have to do that, fill out all those forms when you really shouldn't have to. Steve in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I've been getting some calls. We've had some tax problems that our name must be out there for some reason. And I've been getting calls telling me they're going to put me in jail. They're going to seize all my bank accounts and kick me out of my house if I don't go get a card right away from Family Dollar.
No.
And about the fifth time I got the call, I decided, I never swear, but I decided to swear at him. And he swore back, so I knew it wasn't the IRS.
Yeah. And that's one that, Sandy, you've, unfortunately, that's happened many times.
Yeah, and people have lost millions of dollars to these fake IRS people. It's very, very common. We hear about it from everywhere across the state. It's a national problem as well. And just remember that the IRS will not call you and ask you for a payment via Green Dot, a prepaid debit card, or they don't ask you to wire them money. But they can be, as Steve says, they can be very threatening, very aggressive, and they will keep calling you until you just ignore the calls.
Yeah.
Do you want the numbers? Because I've got them on my answering machine. Does that do any good to turn in those numbers?
Yeah, that would be helpful to us. And we work with the IRS directly and the Federal Trade Commission on these. Most of these are international scams. So
that
would help us.
From offshore, but I don't discriminate like that.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's pretty apparent that they're from another country.
Yeah. So the number to call then would be 800-422-7128?
That's right.
Okay, so 800-422-7128. And if you can provide that information, I think it's always useful to have. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call. And sorry for those calls. Kevin in Duluth, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello there. I've got kind of an opinionated comment, so here we go. I'm just wondering, you know, the majority of these scams that are floating around out there, they're playing on people's greed, simple as that. So I'm wondering what your guest might think about that. I mean, if people weren't as greedy, maybe they wouldn't fall for it.
Yeah, fall into it. I don't know. Well, what do you think, Michelle?
That could be one take on it. I think another is that they really play on people's vulnerabilities. So if there's someone who is in dire straits for they're lonely and just want to talk to somebody, they may be very trusting. They don't have a lot of defenses built up, or they might be in a vulnerable population set, the utility scams, and they don't want their services cut off. And so there's a lot of reasons it happens. They play on people's emotions, whether that be greed or vulnerableness or just loneliness. So it's a scam. It's called that for a reason.
And thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call. We finally have open lines again, so we can get you on pretty quickly with your question or comment. Do you take any steps to look into new organizations before you make a donation? What about your holiday shopping? Any issues there? And what about consumer scams? Have you been involved in something? 1-800-642-1234. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can go to our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title is The Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you on that as well. Someone called in about the U.S. Post Office and Googling that organization, and a caller reminded us that it's the name, the official name is U.S. Postal Service. So U.S. Postal Service. So you really need to get the correct name in there. Even then, you might have a problem, but you're much more likely to have problems if you just say the post office or U.S. Post Office, for sure. So that's something that you want to be sure to keep in mind. And Carol in Hudson, Wisconsin, up next with a comment. Carol, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am trying to stop getting all these catalogs in the mail, and I thought I did good research and went online and found a site that looked good that said stop it, but now I'm getting twice as many. I can't stop them.
Oh, boy. And I get a lot, too, and it's unfortunate because I don't, 99% of the ones I get, I have never purchased anything from, nor will I probably ever purchase anything from them. So it's really kind of too bad that they come in the mail.
You can go online at dmachoice.org. That's the Direct Marketing Association, and take your name off the big mailing list. But you have to register every 3 years, so it's not a once and you're done type thing.
Still, dmachoice.org, is
right.
That it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one that'll work.
Yeah, and not every business that sends catalogs is a member of DMA Choice, but it should at least reduce the number that you receive.
Okay. If you ever do order something from one of them, does that mean they're going to keep sending them then?
You have a higher probability of now receiving one, if not two. But communicate with them directly and ask to be removed from their catalog lists. I know some of mine say if you're going to get it by email, we want to, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle. They want to minimize their mailing because it saves them money, too. So you could just ask to be removed from those each individually.
Okay. That's a good idea.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And on to Don in Madison next. Don, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Larry. I have a question for the debit card versus the credit card. I've been told by my bank that I'm just as safe with my debit card as a credit card. Hmm. What's the story?
I wouldn't think so, but maybe. I would think the credit card would be safer because the credit card company will back, you know, if there's a fraud on it, the company itself, doesn't it cover?
Yeah. There are a lot of details involved in an answer here. Federal law provides a tighter liability limits for the use of a credit card. But the thing is, many cards that are issued are debit/credit, so you need to know the details. But in general, the most important thing is that you keep track of your expenditures using your card. You reconcile your expenditures against your monthly statements and look for fraudulent charges. That's probably the most important piece that people forget. And then notify your financial institution when you do see fraudulent charges. And that's what triggers the liability limit.
If we're traveling outside of the country, is a debit card as safe as a credit card?
I personally would use a credit card, but I don't know.
And that's something that you should talk to your bank about, and get the details directly from them.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. I know someone had called in one of our shows once who had her bank account drained, every penny.
Right, because those debit cards are usually attached. They have that double feature, like Sandy talked about. They serve as a credit card, but they can serve as like an advance money card, where you're taking your funds directly from your bank account. And so that's where talking to your bank about those securities and that separation between the two. And what if someone gets your PIN number and they can drain that account? That's real money.
Yeah, real money. Greg in Ashland. Hello, thank you for calling.
Hi. Yeah, my wife and I had Dish Network, and we signed up for 2 years, but they failed to tell us that in the second year they could jack up the price to whatever they want. So what we did was my wife called them and to cancel it, and we knew that we had a early termination fee. They refused to cancel us until we did pay that, so she paid it right on the phone with them and to cancel it. Well, then they sent us they took the money out of our debit card. We paid with our debit card each month, they automatically took out. Well, then, so we paid it. So then they sent us the boxes that we had to return their equipment. So we returned their equipment, and I got two different emails back saying thank you for returning our equipment. So there was confirmation that they did get their equipment. A couple weeks later, they're wanting to take money out of our bank account for the equipment, saying that we never returned the equipment.
Oh, my goodness me.
Well, we called our, it gets worse. We called our credit union and told them that we want to stop them from taking out any money because we don't owe it. Our credit union told us that there's nothing they could do about it because we already authorized them using our debit, taking money out of our debit card to begin with when we first signed up for them. Our credit union refused to stop them from taking out money even though we did not owe it.
Well, this is, I would be quitting that. I would be taking my money out and closing that account is what I'd be doing, Michelle.
Well, depending upon how long ago that last charge was, I would probably file a dispute on my credit card, which is with the credit union, because you have 60 days from when something appears on the bill to file a dispute. And you have paperwork that shows you've paid for the return of the equipment. So I'd work on the dispute part. And then I'd also encourage you to file a complaint with our agency about your relationship with Dish Network and that experience, because there's a few things you said that really trigger some concerns for me, that you were in a contract, but there was a price increase. And depending upon how that was executed, we may have some areas where we want to communicate with Dish Network about that situation.
Yeah. So the number to call to talk with somebody and in the consumer protection area is 1-800-422-7128. 1-800-422-7128. And I'd certainly urge you, Greg, to make that call. It sounds like there's definitely, you've got some reason to be wanting to complain, for sure. So good luck with that, and thank you very much for calling. I want to give Kurt in Milwaukee a chance to get on here before we run out of time. Kurt, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to urge your listeners to be careful when they make donations. My wife and a coworker of hers made a donation to what I thought was a very well-respected, it's a nationwide charity. I'm not going to name names here, but they made the donation, and later we started receiving solicitations from all sorts of different things. One was a pay-per-view television, just for example, with their combination names on. So the nationwide charity is actually selling names, because that's the only way they could have put those two names together. I just want your listeners to be careful when they make donations or make them anonymously. I'm a little hesitant to use cash, but if they use a money order, something like that. Just being careful with the information that's out there.
Yeah, good points, Kurt. Thank you very much for calling. That's a common practice, isn't it?
Yeah, whether it's a charity or some kind of membership organization, your contact information is often sold on.
Yeah, and probably is a good point or a good time to mention again a website for checking charities.
Yeah, charities are required by law to register with the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. I may have given an old web address earlier. Their web address is wdfi.org, or you can check guidestar.org, and another really good website with good information on charities.
So wdfi.org, or you go to guidestar.org. This is to check charities, their tax filings, and their, and you know, if they're in, how much money, as well, that they use for administrative purposes,
right?
As well. Well, have you got your shopping all done?
I have not even started.
Oh yeah, and are you going to go out shopping, you two, on Black Friday or not?
I'm more of an online shopper.
I've started my online shopping, so I've started my tally of where I can expect packages so I don't fall to any of those FedEx, UPS email scams out there.
Oh, that's not
We're all possible vulnerable.
Yeah, and actually you get a number.
Right.
You get a tracking number for all those, so if you just keep track. Well, you are a smart consumer.
I try and learn from what we talk.
I would hope so. They practice what they preach, and it's always a lot of fun to have them with us. And you know what? They'll be back in a month, and there's probably something else and something new that will have come up that will have caught their attention, and they're going to pass it on to you. So I hope you all have some safe holiday shopping out there. Watch your credit cards, watch your receipts, and take a look at what is being charged on your credit card. One time found something that led to me getting a new credit card because it was somebody had charged something on my card and it wasn't me. So I got a new card out of the deal and it didn't cost me anything. That number again, 1-800-422-7128, to file a complaint or just to talk to somebody at the Department of Consumer Protection. Thanks again to Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen. And thank you all for listening. Tomorrow, Phil Pelletieri comes by to talk about those insects that are going to be on your Christmas tree that you'll be bringing in the house. Stay with us. Lots in store.